It's June 2019, and a star has gone. Hello, this is Stuart Clarkson with a special Radio Today programme this week, remembering John Myers. John died suddenly last weekend, after being taken ill on the fairway of the 18th hole at Glen Eagles. His loss has been felt so deeply by his family, friends, colleagues, listeners, and even people who never met him from right across the radio industry. We're going to do our best this week to make a tribute that's befitting of John. And as you're going to hear, he was so, so highly regarded by his staff, his colleagues, and even some of his rivals in business. The outpouring of love for John and grief over his death has been enormous these last few days. Thanks if you sent your memories for inclusion. We've had to edit some to keep the podcast under 3 hours. It is a long one, though. But as John would have no doubt said, give it what it's worth, team. If it's shit, get it off. If it's good, keep it going. At the end of the programme, we'll hear about John's life in his own words, in a montage lovingly put together by David Lloyd. And of course, there'll be a few air checks of John along the way as well.
The Radio Today programme, with broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionics Studio. Find out how we're changing radio all over again at bionic.radio.
Waking up with John Morgan. Century.
Well, Roy Martin is here, and it was just a massive shock, really, this week, wasn't it, Roy?
It was. Nice touch with the jingle there as well. Thank you for that introduction, and thank you for putting the rest of this podcast together. What can we say about John? To me and to many radio people, he was a hero. He was our idol. He was our rock star. He was our football player. He was our pop band. He was our celebrity. A lot of people in radio look up to their peers rather than, you know, singers or actors. And John was pretty much the complete package. A great manager. He was lots of fun. He had a laugh, wicked sense of humour. He took risks as well to get him where he knew the importance of looking after staff that worked for him and their families. I remember many a GMG radio Christmas party where partners were invited as well. He knew the importance of brands and could predict the future of where radio was headed far more than any futurologist can today. I think it was him that said 10, 15 years ago that there'll be pretty much two main players in the radio industry, something unthought of back then, but he kind of knew. He didn't mind saying what he thought. He said once in an open forum at a radio festival, and I can hear you laughing, you know what I'm talking about. He said, whilst Ofcom was on stage, it was a discussion at the radio festival, he said, "Ofcom has as much vision as Stevie Wonder," to which the room just burst out in tears of laughter. He was lucky enough to do what he wanted to do in life, and I'm pretty sure he loved every minute of it as well. He loved radio almost as much as his family, and golf was a close third as well. And in the last few months, he was certainly back on form after fighting off the Big C. He used to message our radio WhatsApp group pretty much every day with his thoughts. His last message was just hours before his final game of golf as well on Saturday. I used to love his reaction to Bauer's latest strategies. He loved dissecting everybody's radar releases particularly. And he just said what he thought, sometimes in public and other times in private. But you knew what you were getting with John. And like you, like everybody, I'm going to miss him.
We are. And we've had more than 50 audio tributes to John sent in that you're going to hear on this podcast. So thank you to everybody who's contributed to the podcast this week. And John was a big supporter of Radio Today behind the scenes as well, wasn't he, Roy? We, you know, he helped us get into the Sonys and start doing the webcasts, which we hosted on behalf of the Radio Academy for 3 years. He was out there spreading the message for us when Radio Today wasn't really a big deal in the industry. People didn't know about us, but he helped us get some awareness, and he helped us commercially as well, getting advertisers on board and making the site a viable thing, because he got it, that it had an audience there and we needed to make it work on the money side.
He did. He was a big fan of Radio Today, and he helped us out, like you said. He in fact, he actually tried to buy it at one point. He put in an offer to buy the site, but I think in true Team Myers style, the deal was better for him than it was for me. So I think I declined and we moved on. But no, thank you for that. He was a big fan of the site right to the end.
And one of the things you'll hear in this podcast, in the tributes, is how supportive John was. And both Roy and I saw that firsthand. We got so many lovely emails and texts from John, and I've been looking through some of those over the last few days. We got an email from John, you and I, Roy, after we did the first webcast at the Sonys a few years ago. And I wanted to read it out because it just typifies kind of John's, his way with words in making you feel like you'd done the best piece of work ever. He said, "Now the dust has settled, guys, I just wanted to drop you a personal note of congratulations on a brilliant job. I just love the enthusiasm approach to life you bring. Nothing is too much trouble, keen to win, and you do it with a great smile and a wonderful sizzle for the world that is radio. I've listened back this afternoon and tonight to the webcast, and it is impressive. We make a great team, and you guys make a great product." And that, you're getting an email like that from John in your inbox, just made your day.
Absolutely, yeah. I thought we did an okay job, but for him to, as chairman of the event at the time, for him to go out of his way and write that email, yeah, that was great. And a big turning point for Radio Today as well. His support was, you know, he helped make the site what it is today. And we will continue to make it bigger and stronger.
And personally as well, I had another lovely note from John. If you've read his book, Team It's Only Radio, I read one of the final drafts and found a load of things that needed correcting that the publishers had not spotted. And he wrote in John's typical style in the inside pages of the copy that I have, "Thanks for doing all the hard work." And yeah, that was typical of John. He didn't see himself as doing the hard work. He was, you know, making me feel good for the kind of a couple of hours I spent on this project he'd been doing for months and months. And I also did another bit of work, kind of under the counter work for him a couple of months ago, a bit of research for a project he was working on. And he rang me up and we talked about it, and he said, "Right then, team, you know, we've worked out what the work is that needs doing. How much do you want? How much do you charge?" And I told him, and he said, "No, man, that's not enough." And he doubled the figure on the spot and said, "I'll pay you this." And not only that, he paid me the money into my bank within 20 minutes of the invoice arriving in his email. So that kind of, you know, for me, said, you know, he understood that was a deal for me to get that cash, and he made sure I got it as soon as I needed it.
That was fantastic. And he was great at telling stories, but I've got one about him actually that I've never told anybody, but the people who were there will know about it. It was back in 2004 or 2005, one of his first visits to Smooth Northwest, where I was working and just relaunched from Jazz, and he came down, and I think he was on the Atkins diet at the time. You remember that? And the managing director told his PA that John's coming in, it's last minute, he's got a presentation to give us, get him some food because he's been on the road all day, he's coming in, he's got an hour, he wants to eat, he wants to give his presentation, then he wants to go. And he was like, "Well, he's on the Atkins, what do you eat on the Atkins?" We're like, "I don't know, meat. Just get him some meat." So we turned up to this the meeting in the boardroom, and on the table at the front was this plate. You know those wafer-thin packets of chicken and ham that you get in the supermarket, the cheap stuff? There was a plate, and there was about four rolls of chicken and ham on there. So he stood there at the front of the boardroom meeting, eating this chicken, rolling it up, and just like, "What the hell is this, man?" And eating it, because he was that hungry, but he didn't question it that much. You know, he just took the mick out of it. But yeah, that was a funny story. I think he was expecting a bit more than a couple of wafer-thin packets of chicken for his lunch that day. But yeah, hilarious story, and there's millions more like it.
We're going to miss him, as I'm sure so many people listening to this will miss him as well. Thanks for all the fun, team, and all the happy memories. You'll be forever in our thoughts. And of course, John was here on the Radio Today programme back in September. We had him on to talk about the 20th anniversary of Century 105 in Manchester. And he also talked about getting the all clear from cancer.
As you know, I always saw the funny side of life. Even when I was at work, I was always... the problem when I was at work, as you two know, I used to get easily bored. And so I'd do the damaging director role, and then I'd go and look to get... cause a bit of mischief, and you'd go around the building and you'd get involved, and so I miss, you know, I miss it. I've got to have some fun in my life, but it does put everything into perspective, and I never took life too seriously anyway, but even now I guess even less so.
No, we were so pleased when we saw you'd got the all clear,
and it was so wonderful. So many people in the industry sent me, you know, wonderful emails and wonderful notes, and for that I'm really grateful.
And so many people in the industry have sent lovely audio messages about John and his life as well. You're going to hear those coming up. It's a bit of a different format to usual this week. No Radio Moments from History or James Cridland. They'll be back next week along with Trevor Dan on the round table.
And as we're in Obit mode, we've dropped the ads too, but thanks to Broadcast Bionics, to CleanFeed and Mikasa for their continued support of the Radio Today programme.
Well, just before we get into some of the tributes and stories that people have been sending in, let's talk to Simo, John Simons, John's right-hand man for many years as programme director at Century Northeast and 14 years Group PD at GMG Radio. And Simo, it's been a really difficult week for a lot of people. We've seen this mass outpouring of love for John. He'd have secretly probably been enjoying the limelight a bit, wouldn't he, hearing it all?
He would have absolutely loved it. And it's strange, really, because I was watching the tribute that the BBC did on the local news up here in the northeast, and they did a long tribute to him. I had lots of footage of him. And I went to pick up the phone to ring him to tell him what there was going on the TV before I realised what I was doing, because that's the sort of relationship we had. We'd be always talking about each other and what we were up to and things like that. And I talked to him only at the end of last week for about 20 minutes. And I can't for the life of me remember what we talked about. We were just shooting the breeze, you know, which is what we normally used to do. We'd be denigrating someone in the radio industry for doing something that we didn't agree with, or praising someone else. And he would secretly have loved all this. And it looks like they're going to have the funeral in Carlisle Cathedral, and I think he would be absolutely made up about that.
He would. He absolutely would. Well, we're going to hear lots on this podcast of memories, particularly from the GMG days and Red Rose, but you're probably one of his oldest friends in radio. Tell us about the time you first met him. It was Radio Tees, wasn't it?
Yeah, Radio Tees. I reckon it was about 1984. I was on the breakfast show from 5 till 9, and I'd managed to persuade the PD, an American guy called Donald Klein, who John and I were still good friends with, that I should be on from 7 till 10, and they should have an early show from 5 till 7. And he actually went for it, and forgive the rather poor American accent, but he said, "Jan, I found someone, and I think he's pretty good. He's called Chunky." And I said, "Chunky?" Yeah, he said, "Chunky Myers." And that's what everyone used to call him in them days. And I still had his name in my phone up until the early noughties as just Chunky. And it was only when he got into the more lofty heights of GMG that I thought, oh, I better not call him Chunky anymore. Anyway, he came, and we used to have the DJs then do a live demo. And he went into the studio to do the live demo, and I was listening to it. And he kept rocking and rolling the tape so he could do the link again. So I went down and I said, "Hey, man, this is supposed to be as live. You can't do that." So we got off actually on a bad footing to start off with. But I could see how talented he was. And I was desperate to get off the 5 o'clock start. So we got the tape done. It was a great demo. And he came on and he started doing the 5 till 7 shift before I came on at 7. You know, he went away from Radio Tees. I lost the gig there, and I ended up at Radio Nottingham. And then one day he phoned me up after he'd launched CFM and said, "Border have won this license for a northeast regional station. Can you come up and have a look at it and see what you think we could make of it?" went up to John's on the Sunday from Nottingham up to Carlisle and looked at the application document, and I said to him, John, if we have to do what's in this application document, we'll die on our backsides. He says, yes, I know. I said, we've got to do something different with it. Because it was basically BBC local radio with commercials. It was never going to work. So we played around with it and made it a more commercial, viable proposition. But Century was meant to be the Recklin of the bunch. You know, five regionals went on air in September 94, and Century was the one that was going to fail. Well, on the first radio hour, we came out top with 12% reach and 8 average hours. And no one could believe it. And it was because we turned the speech that we had to do, 55% speech, we turned it into a positive by doing stuff that was entertaining and fun and that people could relate to. And it was all about personality. And we had all personalities on every day part. That was kind of out of vogue at the time. And we struggled to find personalities. But that was the secret of the success. And within about 2 to 3 years, we'd got it up over 20% reach. And it consistently was the lead out of all the regionals. And then we went our separate ways again. I came to London, did some work in London at Talk Radio and ended up at Radio 2. And he was continuously calling me and saying, come back, come back. But he'd gone to GMG then. And we were having a pizza one night in Covent Garden. And he said, look, I'm going to launch a radio group. He didn't say a radio station, a radio group. And I'd like you to be the group PD. I said, the group PD of what, John? I said, you haven't got any radio stations. He said, team, we'll get plenty. Don't worry. And I just said to him, look, I've learnt my lesson, because the first time when he offered me the gig at Century, I just accepted it without negotiating. I said, look, I'm going to send you what I want to come and work with you, because I was at Radio 2 at the time. So I sent him an email that night saying what I wanted to come. And I got an email back within 10 minutes just saying, yes. And that was it. We were back together. And I started on April the 1st, funny enough, 2000. And that was the Monday. On April the 4th, we won the license for Cardiff. And the rest is history, really.
Wow. And these last couple of years for John were quite tough. But all through it, he was a very positive guy, despite all that, wasn't he?
If anyone was going to fight off cancer, it was John. Never had any doubt about that. He went through a horrendous time. I don't think anyone really knows the horrendous time. Only Linda would know that. It's so sad that, you know, he got through all of that and then just went like this. It's very, very sad. And so young, and someone who had still so much to give and was being courted. I mean, the BBC were desperate for him to take on a role with them. And he was only talking to them only a few weeks ago. And he didn't want to do a full-time gig again. He would have done something else significant, I'm sure.
A tough week, but we've got lots of memories and we're going to hear lots of them on this podcast. So thank you for talking to us, Sim. I really appreciate it.
No, it's my pleasure. And I know John would have wanted me to talk about him. People used to say to us, you're the best of friends, but he's your boss. How do you make that work? Well, you know, the truth of it is we never, ever fell out at any point during our career. We had some disagreements, but we always worked it through. But we never had an argument and we never had a crossword. If he agreed with something that I didn't want to do, we'd work it out. If he didn't agree with something that I wanted to do, we'd work it out. We sat there until we'd worked it out, but we never fell out. And I can't tell you how much I will miss him.
Hi, Radio Today. This is Phil Riley in Mallorca. I know others will talk about the broad sweep of radio history that John's been involved with or is instrumental in shaping. I just wanted to talk about a couple of very recent times John and I got together. We had lunch just over 2 weeks ago. There was a deal that John wanted me to become involved with, and we went and had the business meeting, and John was business itself, as those of us who know him across a board table can attest to. Feisty, questioning, interrogating, wanting to get a deal done. Typical John as a businessman. And then last Wednesday we had another lunch, this time me, John, and our old friend Rachel Steele, and that was pure fun. John with his pleasure hat on, laughing, joking, gossiping, all the things that everybody who knows John will know made him such a special person to be around. In between time, we had one of our regular Twitter rows about something or other. Only Saturday morning, I emailed him some information on health. John and I talked about his health and my health all the time. A couple of 60-year-old guys tend to do that sort of thing. And the last thing we actually talked to each other about was the final arrangements for him and Linda to come out here to Mallorca this weekend for my 60th birthday. Sadly, he won't be here now, and he'll leave such a big hole around the table when we're celebrating. I'm sure we'll raise more than a single glass to him. We're going to miss him terribly. Everybody will miss him terribly. And I suppose the manner of his going on the 18th at Glen Eagles is typical of John as a guy. He was brilliant at so many things, and as a radio professional, he was undoubtedly brilliant at back timing, and that's how we'll remember him. RIP team.
Hi, this is James Rea. I run Heart and LBC at Global. I've known John for more than 20 years, since I was a young lad on work experience at Century. I was 16 and I loved radio. I wanted to be in it. I wanted to be on it. I wanted it badly. And I think John could see that, and he gave me my first job as a very rookie reporter, and that's something I'll always be extremely grateful for. For more than two decades, he was a mentor, and it's not overstating it to say he was a father figure. John and Linda took me under their wing and made an enormous impact on my life. Like many people have said, John was one of life's great characters, razor sharp as a businessman. But a great sense of humour, mischief and craziness at times. I was a newsreader on his show when he was hosting breakfast in the Northeast as well as running the station. And often when he was presenting, he would be late for the start of the programme. And you'd know this because the XD would go and it would be John saying, no drama, just pulling in to the car park. Team, just put a few more filler stories in. There's only so many times you can recap the headlines and give an extended weather forecast, but I could usually get to about 6 minutes past seven, which was enough time for John to get behind the mic and to wake up the Northeast. It was great fun, and his love of this medium and to see him in action in the radio studio was really infectious. It's so wonderful to see the industry uniting to pay tribute to John. I think he's one of the few people who could do that, and it would give him more than a tingle of pride to see the reaction. It's such a shock that John has gone. I saw him just a few weeks ago, and he was on sparkling form. He looked great. His famous bear-like hug was bigger than ever. He still had a view on life, and he would say what he thought. He was loyal, but his loyalty was never blind. His was proper loyalty. And he always made me feel special. And it turns out that he made a lot of people feel special, made a difference to many lives. And I'll miss him more than I can say.
Hi, it's Ken Bruce here from Radio 2. And my abiding memory of John is from that television series, BBC television series called Trouble at the Top, which studied the launch of Century 105, which, of course, John was intimately involved in. And there was a moment where the marketing team had come up with a billboard for the Derek Hatton show, which read, Mass Debate with Derek Hatton. And when this was pitched to John, his response was, but it's rude. And I remember Nancy Banks-Smith in The Guardian writing to say, you wanted to cheer when he said that. And it's so true, because John absolutely understood what his audience would accept, what they wouldn't accept. And it was the same for all the businesses that he touched. What's the common sense response to this? What's the realistic response to this? And John had that every single time in every area he worked. A man gifted with loads of common sense and the warmth to carry it through.
My name's Helen Bowden, and I've known John many years. I got to know him really well when I was running Radio 4. I was chair of the Radio Academy, and he was my deputy, although that's slightly risible because John was never really a deputy to anyone. He was an extraordinary figure because although most of his life was defined by commercial radio, actually slightly rose above the fray. He had an extraordinary ability to be a very, very canny businessman, make it look effortless, and build friendships on all sides of the radio industry. I always felt he was a professional, he was a confidant, he was utterly reliable, and if you were in trouble, he'd always help you out. When I left BBC News, having had a pretty bloody bumpy time at the very end, he welcomed me back into the radio family where I was just starting as director of BBC Radio. He invited me to sit on his table at the Sony Awards, and when I arrived, he just said, "Welcome back into the radio family, Helen. We've missed you." I mean, all of us will have tales of his incredible sweetness of nature and big, embracing hug. He hugged you literally and he hugged you metaphorically. I last saw him about 2 weeks ago. We are both on the panel that judges the entries for the new Audio Content Fund, which is developing innovative ideas for commercial radio. And we both put a lot of time and effort, as did the rest of the panel, in coming up with the final shortlist. And his instinct for radio and his understanding of audiences really helped that process. The idea of an industry without him is very hard to contemplate. The idea of a world without him is even harder. And of course, we all feel so desperately for Linda and the family, which was the heart of his life, as I'm sure he was for them. But for his incredibly wide network of friends in all kinds of areas of radio, on air, off air, presenters, technicians, people who just love to listen to him on radio, it's just a huge gap. John, dear friend, dear, dear friend, you have no idea how we shall miss you.
I'm Derek Webster. I worked with John Myers at Red Rose Radio in the 1980s, at Red Rose Gold, 9:00 to 9:00 a.m, at Century 105.4, and also Smooth Radio 100.4 in the Northwest. It must have been 1983 when I was working at Red Rose Radio, and I was there doing a programme on Saturday evening, and in come John Myers with his lovely wife-to-be, Linda, having a look round the radio station where he'd be presenting shows. He would be a rival freelancer to me. So anybody that's ever worked freelance in radio will know that you eyed somebody new coming into the station with suspicion. Would they get all of your work? I said, "Hi, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm here to do the country show, but that's just for starters." I thought, aye, aye, here's one to watch. Whenever the audience figures came out, John and Linda would throw a party at their home up in Garstang. And we would all go up and celebrate, and Linda would put on the food and make it everything very hospitable. The audience figures would be unrolled on a big poster on the table. We'd all sit around with our drinks, admiring our hard work for the rage old Jikra period, as I think it was then. And it was marvellous. And you became aware of the family. I remember some funny stories. His daughter, Kerry, who was going to school in Lancashire at the time, was stopped from getting on a bus because she didn't have a bus pass. And she noticed that on the side of the bus was a picture of her dad. We had a big promotion at the time. Red Rose Gold Breakfast Show has been promoted with a picture of her dad, John Myers, on the side of the bus. In spite of that, she was banned from getting on it. One of the most exciting times for me was at Century 105.4. When that was set up, it was really exciting. We had this wonderful summer, and John would go on air randomly while the test transmissions were going on and start winding up the opposition. So he'd be on there saying, "Morning!" And he'd actually start opening up the phone lines. Bearing in mind, we weren't officially on air. This was a test transmission. He'd be opening up the phone lines and taking calls from listeners, and he'd say, "What station did you used to listen to?" And they say, "Oh, I used to listen to Key 103 or Piccadilly," something like that. He says, "They've shut down now, haven't they, man?" And this would go on for a while. No doubt somebody at one of the rival stations got wind of this and rang up Ofcom, or the Radio Authority, I think it was then. And before long, it stopped. And we went back just to non-stop, back-to-back music. But it was fantastic. It really was. John knew exactly how far to go.
Hello, this is Mark Goodyear. John was one of a kind. He was generous with his time, whether you worked for him or not, whether you were on the air or just starting out in radio. He seemed to have a genuine love of people, and that made him unique to work for. He was always confidence building when doing deals with me as a presenter. He was fun to be with. It made you want to work for him. I spoke to him only last week, and I always finished a chat with John feeling better than when we started the call. John's legacy? It's without question. He was loved and admired by almost everybody who met him. The radio businesses that he built and the charm that he did it with made him unique. There are lots of talented people in broadcasting, but really, there are very few giants in our business. Terry Wogan was one. John Myers was another.
This is Andrew Harrison, Chief Executive of Radio Centre for its first 7 years, at a time when John was a founding board member. It was a time of terrific change in the sector, with all the major acquisitions which have shaped the future of our industry today, with Global buying GCAP and Chrysalis, Bauer buying EMAP, and John was a constant presence, mentor, advisor and friend to me through those times that have shaped our industry. And subsequently, of course, he became Chief Executive of the Radio Academy, chaired the Arkiva Awards, as they then were, and of course was Radio Centre's nomination to write what became the Myers Report into the future of the industry he loved so much. But John was much more than a business colleague or a board member. He was a friend and a golf partner for me for the last 12 years. He treated everything in life with great optimism, great gusto, and great verve for life. Beating cancer or beating par, he lived life to the full. We'll miss him dearly.
Hello, this is John Gilmore from BBC Radio Lancashire. I worked with John Myers in the late 80s and early 90s and was privileged to be part of the launch team for Red Rose Gold. And you know, team, as he was known, was well ahead of the game. Back in the 90s, we gave away cars, thousands of pounds in cash, holidays and caravans it had never been heard of before. It was a great place to work under him. Every day was a different day, and every day was a fun day. And when you came off air, if you were walking past his office, he'd say, "Team, have you any Scoobies?" Scoobies, by the way, was food. And if you said, "Sorry, team, I haven't." "What you coming in here for, then?" Happy memories, happy days of John Myers. RIP, team.
This is Dave Brown from Smooth Radio. One of the many memories I have of the great John Myers was when, right in the early days of Smooth, poor John Scragg took ill, so I ended up having to cover breakfast for about 13 weeks, I recall. And on my last show at Smooth, when it was based in Castlereagh Street, John Myers burst into the studio just before my last link and said, "Team, I just want to thank you for all your efforts. You've kept the show stable. Ray Jar's not looking bad. Yep, well done, and thanks for looking after everything." And he turned and walked away, and I'm feeling quite pleased with myself. And then just as he's about to head out the door, he turns round on his heels and said, "Mind you, I thought you were crap." But that was John all over, always having a joke and a laugh, and he might have thought I was crap, but you couldn't help loving the guy, and I'm going to miss him terribly.
Julian Carter, sales director for Century in the Northwest and group sales director for GMG Radio. Team, together, everyone achieves more. I never forget when someone once said to me, "That's really impersonal." I said, no, you're not getting it. Actually, when you call each other team, it's quite the opposite. It's incredibly personal. And that's what it was to me and everyone who was part of the team family.
Hello, this is John Holmes. Memories of John Myers. Too many, really, aren't there, for all of us? But he always used to send me send me a personal message after I had, let's say, a career blip. there were a lot of messages. But one stands out, and the reason it stands out is it wasn't even after a career blip. It was after I'd hosted, I don't know, an award ceremony or something corporate for the radio industry. And it stands out because this is a message, it's a DM I'll share with you. And it stands out because it's not about me, it doesn't even apply to me, because I wasn't particularly. It applies to him. And it's a message that reads, "John, we shared a name. You were brill as always. True talent. JM." And he might as well have been writing it to himself.
It's Helen Thomas, Head of Content Commissioning at BBC Radio 2. John was a giant, both literally and metaphorically. He lived and breathed radio, and his passion, enthusiasm and interest in the medium never wavered. The first time I met him, he was chairing a meeting for the 2005 Radio Festival. He was deadly serious about what needed to be delivered, but he did it all with a twinkle in his eye and his trademark sense of absurdity and fun. I could see that we were going to get on, and we did. We stayed in touch, and he's been incredibly generous with his time, advice and support over the years. I loved the fact that John was never interested in sides. He just wanted radio to win every single time. The last time I saw him for coffee, he was so fired up about all the current changes going on in the industry, he was just itching to get stuck in again. I'll miss his friendship and his counsel very much, but feel very lucky to have had the chance to have met him at all in the first place. Rest in peace, team.
I'm Steve Collins. I was the programme director of Smooth Radio when GMG owned the station, and obviously so sad to hear of John's passing. But since then, I've been thinking a lot about the great times that we had at GMG. They were very, very special. And I think the reason they were so special is that, as many have said, John was a very strong, strong family man. And that's how he ran the company. He was the father figure of that company. And that's why it was so good to work for. I remember once trying out a new DJ on the air, and John happened to be in the area, and I didn't know. He was driving around and he phoned me up, and a few choice words came down the phone questioning why I was trying out this particular DJ. And then, of course, when he went on the air, because he did a few shows, breakfast shows in the Northwest, trying to control what he was doing was like impossible because he was my boss after all. What could I do? And he knew that, the crafty man. It was such a pleasure knowing him. He was a great man. And radio has lost someone very, very special.
Hi, this is Jeremy Vine at Radio 2, feeling really down about the loss of John. And to be honest, it's very difficult to pay tribute to him in a way that captures even a small amount of his greatness. I think what I would say is this, that if you're a presenter, you live by the maxim that those who run it have never done it. And the managers and so on have never broadcast. And that's why they never quite understand what we're doing. And they see presenters as an occupational hazard of running a radio station. John was the opposite, because John started broadcasting. So his love was of broadcasting. But he then discovered he had this entrepreneurial streak. And he started to buy stations and run them and all that stuff. But at the same time, he kept broadcasting. So you have this fantastic situation where he's John Morgan presenting the breakfast show and John Myers running the station. Two people, one and the same. And a listener rings the station controller and says, "I want the breakfast show presenter sacked." And John Myers says, "I have told John Morgan he is on a final warning." And I love all those stories about John. His book, Team It's Only Radio, which I wrote the foreword for, and was very honoured to be asked to do that. That, if you want to see the whole scope of John's life, it's in there. But actually, his life is much more than a collection of funny stories. The warmth of that man to people in radio, his warmth for radio itself, but for people like me who had a show, it was just incredible. My last message from him was on, I think, probably 4 or 5 days ago. He just said, "Are you free next week? I'd love to meet, see how you are." And we booked to see each other for coffee tomorrow. So I now have a space in my diary where John should have been. And I will spend that time thinking about what a rare and wonderful person he was.
I'm Martin Campbell. I used to be the chief advisor on Radio 2 Ofcom. In spite of that, John and I became very good friends. I'd known John for some time before I went to Ofcom, but I don't think Ofcom had seen anything quite like John. He'd arrive and say something like, "Oh, then, Martin, how you doing? Shall we sit and argue about whether some of the buggers round here think it has to have trumpets on to be jazz, or shall we go and have a nice lunch somewhere?" No prizes for guessing which one won. We put the world to rights, the radio world anyway, on many, many occasions. Very happy memories from very sad news.
I was lucky enough to work with John on a couple of his radio brands, being Century and Smooth, of course, along with Simo. But the last time I saw him was round about a couple of years ago at Steve Fennell and Amy's wedding. I did a DJ set for them. And John was at the back, and he was just sitting down, and Stephanie Hurst was there, and Terry Underhill, and many other people in the radio industry. And everybody was chatting with him and coming to see him one by one, and he just sat there on his throne being a cool customer. And I went up and said hi, and I couldn't resist giving him a hug. I know that he hadn't been well, but he moved in far too quickly and gave me a hug. What a pleasant, all-round, wonderful man. Sorely missed.
Hello, I'm Dave Shearer, and like everybody else, I've got nothing but wonderful memories of all my time with John. We first met working at Red Rose Radio in the late 1980s, and then went on to launch Red Rose Gold with an amazing team of people back in 1990. In fact, it was June the 1st, 1990, that we launched Red Rose Gold with Dave Lincoln and Derek Webster, John Gilmore, Mike Vitti, Ian Calvert, Simon Tate, and an amazing group of people there. Amazing time, the happiest working time of my life. And John lived in Garstang at the time, and I lived in Warrington. Garstang was obviously not a lot nearer. And the spare room at Garstang was often called Shearer's Room, because I used to spend quite a lot of time there, certainly in the week as well. We go out for curries in the week. John would always say, driving back, he'd say, team, don't mention to Linda, man, we've been out for a curry. And the reason being is Linda, as those of you who do know, always had the best biscuits, and a huge biscuit tin full of every single chocolate biscuit you could ever imagine. And myself and John, not only stuffing our face with curry, we'd also be sat there for the night time stuffing our face with chocolate biscuits, and Linda making us cups of tea while we talked and anoracked about radio. An amazing legacy that's been left. I've never really seen such an outpouring of love for somebody. He's left an amazing legacy. Wonderful family, Kerry and Scott and Linda, and Marcus and Mia and Eddie. All adored him. He adored them. He was such a wonderful, wonderful family man. He's going to be sadly missed. And I've not done it yet, but one thing I will do in the next couple of days is raise a glass of his favourite at the time, which was always I'll have a brandy shandy team. So I'll raise a glass of brandy shandy and remember you with fondness and love for all the good things you did, not just for me, but for everybody else. God bless you.
This is Terry Underhill. From the very first moment that we met, I knew John was a very special person indeed. He had that unique ability to make everyone feel very special, and a text or a call from John was always a pleasure to receive. He also gave the best hugs ever. I'm truly honoured to have known John and to have had him as a dear friend. And following his sudden passing, I was prompted to look at one of the last text message exchanges that we had. Now, although it was a private text conversation, it sums up my thoughts on John, and I am so glad that I had the opportunity to send it. I'd like to share it with everybody because although I didn't realise it at the time, I actually said something to John that I'd never said to him before. And I sent it on the morning of his 60th birthday just a couple of months ago. Here's what I said. Hi John, just wishing you the happiest of birthdays. Wish I could have popped up to see you, but sadly I couldn't today, but hopefully see you very soon. Have a great day. And on this very special day for you, I'd like to thank you for always being there for me and for being a very special person in my life. Love to you and to Linda and all. Now, I had no idea when I sent that it would be the last opportunity I'd have to tell him just how I felt about him. But now, of course, I'm so pleased that I did. His reply was typical and quite beautiful, where he said, "Thanks a lot, Terry. You're a wonderful friend. Love you, mate." They're text messages that I will keep forever.
Well, I got to know John Myers when he came to consult for Radio 2. I'd previously known him through, obviously, his reputation as a presenter and a programme controller. I would say that he had more knowledge of radio than most. And he was honest, well, a no-nonsense kind of bloke. And knowing people that worked for him, I can tell you that he was brilliant and he was great fun. He took the work seriously and got it done, but at the same time, he made it fun. He'll be remembered by the people in radio that knew him, I think, for those little nuggets of advice. He was one of those guys that would say, I tell you what, and then one sentence of advice that you always remember for the rest of your life in relation to the work. Rest in peace, John.
Hi, it's Stephanie Hurst. I first became aware of John when he was the station voice at Magic 828 and I was just a mere tech-up at the time. I remember discovering the original master tape of the session and he was cracking all these gags in between takes. I'm thinking, who is this guy? And it wasn't until years later that Dave Shearer hired me at Hallam and then told me many stories of his best mate, John, over at Red Rose. And then years later, I finally got to meet the great John Myers. I think it was at the launch day of Real Radio Yorkshire I met him. I was like in awe of the man. And then his son started working on my show, the incredibly talented Scott Myers, who without his father's schooling, would he have brought so much to the table on our show? Probably not. It all stems back to John. I said something on text the other day to a friend that John was almost immortal, larger than life itself. And people talk about one-offs and breaking the mould. But those words can truly be attributed to John. It's a real stark reminder and I guess a rude awakening to the fragility of life that one minute he's on the Royal Yacht Britannia and the next minute he's gone. I'll miss those hugs that I'd get when I'd see him at an industry event or something and he'd just scoop me up with lots of love and leave me with some words of wisdom and was always fiercely protective of me and the life change that I went through and everything and really stood up and spoke out and really fought my corner. I'll never forget that, ever.
My name's David Quinney. I was a founder member of the sales team at Real Radio Wales. I spent a decade working for GMG, achieving many career highlights, and felt truly inspired by the warm and empowering culture created at GMG by John. We'd have regular emails, telephone conversations. Every time he was in Cardiff, he'd always make a point of telling me how great I was, how much my contribution to the business was valued, and to make sure I look after my children and keep striving to be better. John came into the reception once when I was welcoming a key client, the South Wales Vauxhall dealers, for a big presentation. He came up to me and he said, he would give me a massive bear hug, turned to the clients and said, "This guy Quinney is fantastic. If I had one of him in every station, then I wouldn't have to worry about sales." This made me feel like $1 million and was just typical of how John made you felt special. He's a special man. His wife, Linda, son, Scott and brother, Eddie, all lovely people. And the world is genuinely a poorer place without big team in it. So lots of love, John. Sleep tight. Thank you for making such a positive impact on my life. I'll never forget you.
Hello, I'm Andy Hodgson, and I used to present Century Radio's breakfast show with John Myers in the mid-90s in the northeast of England. So we were co-presenters, and of course, he was my boss along with John Simon. So we had a fascinating relationship, and I have huge respect for the man. I used to have to wake him up at 6 in the morning with a phone call, as I did the 2 hours preceding up to him coming on air as well. And I'd call him and then had to call him again, he told me, because he wouldn't listen the first time I woke him up. I often quizzed him about why he didn't have an alarm clock and he said he did. Anyway, can I call twice? And often it resulted in him falling back to sleep despite the alarm clock and 2 phone calls from me and he'd be late. And that meant in the morning I was required between 7 and about 10 past when he was racing down the motorways to get in, I'd be required to impersonate him and just do the first link by going, "Morning, my darling, Century." I think we got away with it for a while. And we used to have a healthy start to the day. The mid-90s was famous for it. I think everybody did it. I was required every morning when he got in to pop upstairs for the breakfast of kings, which was coffee and a chocolate bar, or as John used to call it, "Get me a Scooby snack, will you, team? Get one for yourself. Here's the cash." And he paid every day. We had the daily intake of the Four Tops, of which he insisted on playing most days, despite John Simon's annoyance, I think. And we went on to be enormous friends. He was one of my greatest mentors in life and one of the most inspirational people I've ever met because he just understood people.
It's Matt Jamieson here, just sharing a memory of John Myers from the 5 years when I was running Amazing Radio between 2010 and 2015. I had quite a few covert meetings with him at the Hilton in Gateshead. No one at Amazing knew I was having them, and I don't think he told anyone he was having them with me either. But he had some great wisdom and some great advice about keeping the radio station on the radio track, and I've held his advice very close to my heart ever since, and he'll be sorely missed, and all my love and respect goes out to his wonderful family.
Hello, this is Jonathan Morell, currently working for the BBC in Newcastle, but work with John at Century FM from around about 2008 onwards. I will never forget the last time that I saw John Myers. We were at a dinner, and out of a sea of faces he appeared, and he gave me a hug, and I said, "How are you, John?" And he said, "Good." He said, "God's been good to me." And I'll never forget that, because he looked so well, and to have heard what happened the other day, I really couldn't believe it. I remember working with him at Century in 2008. Originally, it was owned by Capital, and then the station was sold to GMG. And I had never worked for him before. Of course, I knew him. But I have to say, working for him was a joy. When he walked in, there was a sparkle. There was an enthusiasm. I can't say what it was, but he was always happy. He was always loving what he was doing. As a member of the team, I felt supported. He always stuck up for you. And I had dinner with him and Linda on a few occasions. The laughter. I never wanted the night to end because the stories were brilliant, be it the radio, be it days at Border Television. And I have to say, when he left GMG, the place wasn't really the same. In some ways, I'd love to turn the clock back and do that time all over again. Life is so unfair to lose someone like John at the age of just 60 after beating cancer. It's just awful. But his family can be so proud, so proud of the brilliant, funny, talented and compassionate man that he was. God bless you, team. We'll miss you.
Hello, I'm Chris Best. I had the pleasure to work with John for many years on Century Radio in the Northeast. I was part of the launch team on Century 105 and Smooth Radio in the Northwest. John's philosophy was that radio should be fun. Now, anyone who listened to his breakfast shows would have laughed out loud and talked about what he said on air long after the show had finished. He was a genius at connecting with his audience. I remember he set up the Century Listener Club, and it was an instant success. He was, of course, a naturally funny man, a larger-than-life character, and for me, an amazing boss who created some of the most listened to radio stations in the UK. I feel proud to say that I was a colleague of John Myers and owe him a great debt of gratitude for supporting my career and encouraging me down the years. He was a lovely man. RIP team, and thanks for all the laughs.
Hello, I'm Nick Goodman. I'm a radio consultant. And we all know John was a great leader of people. He had a fantastic ear and he was really the ultimate radio professional in many ways. But I'll just remember him as being incredibly funny. One night sticks out for me. I'd invited Pete Waterman over to do a session at Radio Days Europe in Barcelona. This is back in 2012. Pete was a presenter on Smooth Radio at the time. Now, John Simon, Simo, thought it would be a good idea if we all took Pete out for dinner that evening. So, sure enough, Pete Waterman, Simo, John Myers and myself, we all went out. And for some reason, I can't quite remember, we ended up at a tiny little Michelin-starred restaurant for about 10 people, where the only thing on the menu was the 10-course tasting menu. Now, we'd already had a couple of bottles of fine wine by the time the first course arrived. And it being a 10-course tasting menu, it was all rather fancy stuff. Now, the first plate arrived, and it was the tiniest bit of jelly with one piece of watercress on top of it. Now, you can imagine John's face when he saw it, and he turned to the waiter and he said, "Team, is that it?" And we all cracked up. Pete Waterman lost it completely. And for the preceding 9 other courses, John just had a great line for the waiter every single time he turned up with a plate of tiny food. And that's how I'll remember John, just an incredibly funny, funny man. And I feel immensely lucky to have known him.
My overwhelming memory of John Myers involves the day that I was fortunate enough to be inaugurated into the Radio Academy Hall of Fame. And for the uninitiated, before you leave your lovely lunch table and walk to the stage, somebody has to say a few words about you. And John was the man who did that for me. And he did a brilliant little speech. In fact, I didn't recognise myself. But he brought the house down before he even got to the subject of me by addressing the throngs of radio people with the immortal line, one of his favourites, "My fellow athletes." And it brought the house down. And that's the kind of guy John was. So respected. Such a great, great sense of humour. And I'm honoured to have known him. And I'm forever grateful that on a big day for me, he was very much part of it. And I'll miss him.
This is Bob Shannon. I'm Group Managing Director at the BBC. But before this job, I held many jobs in BBC Radio, including running 5 Live, Radio 2, 6 Music, the Asian Network, and indeed BBC Radio. I also worked with the Radio Academy, where I came into very close contact with John Myers, who was such an important, influential figure there, played such an incredibly important part in the Academy's development. John and I were sometimes opponents, sometimes we were allies, always we were friends. I learned many, many things from him. As so many people have said, he had an incredible generosity of spirit. He gave to people in the radio industry. But he also had a phenomenal understanding of the whole of the industry. It's a rare person who cares so much about all spectrums of the industry, both the commercial radio spectrum and the BBC. I learned that from him, that this is a great industry when you think about its entire size and scale. He was a lovely man. Like so many others, I'm going to miss him hugely.
Hello, this is Chris Stevens. I was head of production for the first few years of GMG Radio and then also the last few years of GMG Radio. And I think what made working for John Myers and John Simons so incredible was they always empowered us as producers to take risks and try things that were a bit different, a bit crazy, a bit bigger than normal. And they helped us with this by giving us some incredible promotions to work with, from Grab a Grand to giving away incredible prizes in Scotland, Win a Car a Day in May, where they gave away 20 cars in 1 month, followed up by giving away a house. But it didn't matter whether it was the biggest promotions or the smallest things. Just listening to John Myers presenting Fun on the Phones, where the prizes were pretty much non-existent most of the time, but everyone had so much fun. It was just an incredible atmosphere. And every time John Myers entered a room, the mood always changed. I had a little look on my hard drive and I found this bit of audio. And I've got no idea why I recorded this, but it's John Myers entering a studio at Laser House before doing a cover shift.
From the future of your radio. Perhaps pictures from the future of your radio.
And I was saying, really, that surely radio with pictures is, in fact, television.
Which I think
no, please, please, please.
Oh, he's here, he's
here. Oh, for crying out loud.
No, listen, please, let me just tell you, dear listener, you do not want a picture of this crew in the morning, I tell you, on your radio. I mean, good grief.
Don't you think we've got faces for radio?
You've got the ideal face for radio. You've got the ideal backside for radio, I'll tell you that much.
Says you.
Good. It's nice to be here, I tell you.
Welcome. It's been
among
a few years, isn't it?
I tell you, it's 7 years. 7 years since I was last. Well, 7 years since I left. Look, I can't
hang
remember.
On. You didn't You're, leave. You got fired.
Please.
You did
please.
Get
I,
fired.
Think, the term is I was let go.
Well, you had gardening leave for 7 years.
I was, look, do you know, thank, by the way, everyone for the last 7 years for filling in for me since my return. It's very, no, honestly, it's so nice we've found all these presenters over the years. And I'm here. And can I just say, Sarah, you're looking gorgeous, love.
Aww.
No, you're looking good. I can say that because it is radio.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've not got your glasses on this morning,
no,
have you?
No, I've got everything on except my glasses. But Sarah always looks better without my glasses, strangely enough. And Salty, you're looking sober. Yeah. So it's great to see you, mate.
Yeah, it's unusual for me to be sober, but I thought I'd make the effort for you this morning.
Can I just say, I've heard the last hour, and I'm quite encouraged about the next hour.
So. An incredible voice, and you can never outsmart John on the radio. By the way, whenever he did a mic test, it always sounded a bit like this.
Nick is knackered. Knockers, hello.
I remember those words so well from every time recording John. He also loved his jingles. The crazier, the sillier, the better. We made loads from over the years. And I was really privileged a few years ago to make one myself for John when he was covering breakfast at my first radio station, Sun FM. And like everything, when you give it to John, he would then make it sound so much better when he used it on the air.
7 degrees Celsius are best today. secret sound today is £325. And if you get it right, today I'm going to give Danny out of my own pocket the same amount of money.
Fingers crossed, people. Don't let me down.
£325 could be yours. It's easy. All right, Robbie Williams.
I am so grateful that I was part of GMG Radio through those times with John Myers, John Simons, Jill Johnson and the rest of the crew there. An amazing group of people. I wouldn't trade that time for anything. And I'm so grateful for all the experiences and everything I learned.
Hi, it's Paul Robinson. I worked for GMG Radio for a number of years. John Myers setting up GMG Radio absolutely changed my life. I think the main thing I always remember is John's face every Christmas party when I would turn up wearing something just a little bit outrageous. One year it was a Chinese silk outfit, another year it was a cow print suit, and he would always look and sort of roll his eyes, what have you come as now? And in our final year, George Johnson actually took me to one side and said, you know he secretly loves it, don't you? And that was everything I needed to hear, really. Such a legend, so sadly missed. I think radio will never quite be the same without him.
Hiya, my name's Ricky Durkin, or as team knew me, Ricky D. And what can I say about John that hasn't been said already and that won't take several hours, because I've got so many positive stories like you. I mean, you just think of John and you just think of this all-round good egg full of warmth, vitality, energy, life and good humour. We met in 1994 and, oh, crikey, we've done so many things since then. Occasionally, he'd ring me up and say, team, are you happy? And on one of these occasions, I said, well, always open to offers, John. Come with me and work down in London. I said, doing what? He said, I don't know yet, but I'll find something. And because I trusted him, off I went. And it was an adventure. Helping to launch Real Radio Wales, he would walk around the office prior to us being on air, seeing everybody, knowing them by name, and then coming up to the desk and saying, team, have you got any Scoobies? And also helping with an RSL before that. Variety FM in Sutton Coldfield. The radio station was in the attic of an old hotel, but he put us up in somewhere a little bit swanky. Somewhere that Leeds United football players stayed in that very weekend. We did the work on Selector, we ran the logs, and at midnight that Saturday, the station launched. I was in my hotel room with a little pen radio that Linda had given me. John and Linda were in their room, and just after midnight, after the first piece of imaging had been on air, and the first song was on, he called my room, and we were both so excited. I mean, that passion and that energy just never went away. A childlike enthusiasm which was just so infectious. And John had this magic touch. He made you feel special and that there was a soft spot in his heart for you, which is a very, very rare quality. And for that, John, and for the love and the warmth and the exciting times over the past 30 years or so, we thank you with lots and lots and lots of love.
Hello, Tony Blackburn here. I just wanted to say how sad and shocked I was to hear about John. He was a lovely guy. I worked with him at Smooth Radio. He made a terrific contribution to commercial radio and radio as a whole. And apart from that, more than anything, he was a really nice man with a great sense of humour, and he'll be sadly missed.
Hi, I'm Sarah Graham, and I was lucky enough to meet John Morgan, i.e. John Myers, very early on in my career when I got the chance to audition for him as a traffic and travel presenter on his Century Breakfast show. Now, it was way before Simon Cowell. It was way before any of those sort of variety shows were on TV, and the idea was you'd audition to be his traffic and travel presenter. So I did, but I thought, what can I do that will kind of win him over? Cream cakes, Scooby-Doo snacks. He loved Scooby-Doo snacks. So I took in the cream cakes, the listeners voted, and apparently I got the job. I was lucky enough a few years later to also work with him on a Sunday afternoon called Fun on the Phones. The idea was it was a quiz show. It really wasn't a quiz show. It was a chance for John to have fun. He was managing five businesses, but he loved a Sunday afternoon, and it was hilarious. From getting people to go in their drawers to find out what number 42 was on their local takeaway and calling that up, from getting people who were a bit shy to open up. If you were single, what was wrong with you? Were you ugly, pets? Things like that. He was a brilliant entertainer, and the listeners absolutely loved him and still talk about him to this day. If you're single or you're ugly, If you're down, sort it out, put it right. Shout in your street, can anyone help me on this question? He was just brilliant on air and off air as well. I got the biggest hugs at times in your life when you need them. I will always remember John with that energy and affection. Also, of course, John loved to have some fun with the listeners. And on one Sunday afternoon, this is what happened. And even now, it's making me smile. We had a caller on. She was from Swansea. And this is what he said. Right, love, you've got this. You really have. Take a deep breath. Who was born on Christmas Day? Quick as you like. She said Santa. Well, that was it. His infectious laugh did it. We were crying with laughter. Listeners were ringing up crying with laughter. And for months and months, listeners were talking about that very special caller. John was the best on air and off air, a true performer with the most enormous heart and one that I consider to be a very special friend.
Hi, this is Steve Pank. You know those moments when you can't quite believe what you're seeing? So, you know, you take a second look because you're not quite sure what you're seeing is correct. I was absolutely shocked and then really sad. In fact, I've been really upset and sad ever since. Although John and I didn't know each other that well, we often exchanged emails and had some fun on Twitter. John just made you feel like, you know, we were lifelong friends. I loved his enthusiasm for radio. I loved his humour. I loved his passion. I loved the fact that he loved creativity and risk takers. I remember once at the Sony Radio Awards, we spent a good few hours together, just the two of us, sharing stories, getting drunk, and just enjoying each other's company. It's a moment I'll never forget. I love the fact that I knew John Myers, you know, that we'd met, but most of all, I liked him. How could you not like John Myers? I never knew him when he was Morgan in the Morning. We got to know each other in more recent years. The first time we met, he was incredibly complimentary. And you don't forget moments like that, moments of kindness and just being a lovely person. And John was a lovely person. Nice to have known you, John. I wish we'd spent more time together. Night-night.
Hi, everyone. My name's DeMarque, and John inspired me to keep pushing myself to get into the industry at a young age. I graduated last year from the Global Academy after 2 years there, and at the age of 16, I started my brand new Twitter account, and one of the first people that I followed was John, because I had seen the impact he had on so many people. If it wasn't for John, I wouldn't have had the tenacity to push myself even further to get into this wonderful industry. He is a true radio legend, and it's certainly heartbreaking.
Hello, I'm John Baish. I was programme controller at Jazz FM at the end of the 90s, and this is actually a John Morgan story. It was top secret at the time. I think I'm okay telling it now. 20 years ago, not long after John left Border Radio Holdings, and before GMG Radio existed, I offered him our Manchester breakfast show. I didn't think he'd necessarily want to do it, but I was working on the basis that if you don't ask, you'll never know. And he was actually genuinely interested. He loved being on the radio. Now, as it turned out, we couldn't quite make the deal happen because of a snag with my board of directors. And 3 years later, I was working for him after GMG bought us out. And I used to wonder from time to time whether Jazz FM in the Northwest, with Morgan in the Morning on it, would have been just as successful as Smooth in the Northwest with John Myers running it. To which John would have said, well, no, of course not. You were playing jazz music. So no, maybe it wouldn't have been as big, but it would have got an audience and it would have been a great listen because as well as everything else we're all thinking back to at the moment, John was a really good broadcaster.
Hello there, my name is Ben Cooper and I'm the controller of Radio 1, One Extra and the Asian Network here at the BBC. And also a former chair of the Radio Academy, which is where I met John for the first time and really got to know him properly. I know we're supposed to be telling stories of fun times with John and remembering some of his funny anecdotes or his jokes, but really at this moment in time, I'm still a bit shocked and a bit sad. And so my thoughts are really with Linda and the family at this difficult time. And I feel it is a difficult time, as so many of us will miss John. It was lovely to read on Sunday how many people he had touched in his life and the number of people who had said that he'd helped in their careers. And I know that I will certainly miss his knowledge and his wisdom and his ideas. He was a radio man through and through. He couldn't wait to catch up with you and share industry stories, usually in the Heights bar. And I will miss that. I will also miss his big hugs. I will also miss his huge optimism. And it's just very, very sad. So, John, we'll miss you.
Hi, this is Steve England. John was an amazing guy. He was originally a disco DJ. There's not many station management people that could do as good a job a radio show as anyone he employed. He was a great customer for us and for our jingle companies, and he really understood radio. And he never forgot his friends and contacts as he climbed the ladder. And everyone in the business will miss him a lot. And that's for sure. One of the true originals. Here's to you, John.
Here's Michael Cohen.
I was so sorry to hear about the passing of my great friend John Myers, one of the most wonderful men I've ever had the privilege to meet. He was a complete radio guru. His thinking was extraordinary. It was always out of the box. It was always different. But even with his opponents, he was always good-humoured, and you couldn't fail to like him. Only recently, we were celebrating his good health after recovering from cancer and how bravely he dealt with it. And this is such a cruel blow after going through all that trauma. John was a truly wonderful man, and I know everyone listening will feel the same as I do. We have lost a truly great human being.
Hi, I'm Angela Jay, and I used to work at GMG. And I remember during my, 7 years, I think, at Real Radio Wales, and on a few occasions, because I used to co-present The Breakfast Show, John would come down and he'd co-present with me, which obviously terrified me. I mean, this is the big boss of the company coming to do a show with, you know, little old me. And I'm like, what if I screw up? He's just going to sack me. I remember this one show in particular. He just sat opposite me and he said, on air, we're going to give away this holiday to America if you want to win it. I said, well, we don't have a holiday to America to give away, John. And he's like, I'm the boss. We can do what we want. And it was at that moment I thought, yeah, we can. It kind of excited me that we could do what we want. But I was like working alongside the boss. And it was scary. But he always greeted me and everybody with a great big hug. And there was such a big team spirit, which I think you don't get in many places. It was just such a huge team spirit. I loved seeing him. I absolutely looked forward in the end to him coming down, you know, because I think everybody did. And he made us feel really important. If John told you you sounded great, it meant so much to you. I guess you wanted his praise, you know, because it meant a lot. He made you feel really important. And he did that well with each and everybody who worked there, I think. And he had great people skills. And through that, great communication and friendships were formed with not just me, but everybody who worked for Real Radio between Scotland and Wales and Yorkshire. It was just wonderful. He was so passionate. In the recent years, I followed his tweets and his blogs, and I'm really going to miss him. And the world is a sadder place without him, but I thank him so much for everything.
This is David Lloyd. I've worked with John at Century, and I remember the very first board meeting I was at in the East Midlands at Century 106. I was MD, and he wasn't there, but he clearly heard about it later, because he said to me, he said, look, when you're MD of a company that's losing lots of money, it's an awfully good idea to start talking about the money before you talk about the programmes. And he was dead right, because he knew the audience I was addressing on that day. But when he picked you up on things like that, you just felt that he was helping you to be the best you possibly could, and he left you feeling good. Up to this day, I don't know how he managed to pull that off. He was a remarkable man.
Kevin McCauley. I first met John back in the mid-90s, 95. I called the radio station a couple of times from an agency I was working at to ask if they acknowledged 15% agency commission. That's all I needed to know. I was new to the game of buying, never mind selling. Two people told me they didn't deal with agencies. I'd have to call back and put the phone down. So I decided to phone the MD, John Myers, not knowing he was Morgan in the morning. John said he'd be with me within the hour. He was. We'd done the business, got it all signed up. The client was very happy, and he offered me a job in John's way, which was, mush, you're really not to come and sell radio. Never mind buying it. The second experience when I went to work there was John called the security guard at St. James's Park after Newcastle lost, I think it was 5-0 to Arsenal or Chelsea. He got the security guard to tell him five times that they'd lost. And of course, in John's way, he was asking the security guard to repeat himself and say, "So we won. I'm calling from Australia. We won, Mush, did we?" And he was like, "No, we lost 5-0, which got back to Freddie Shepherd, who owned it, who was doing cartwheels and called the station to speak to John Myers, the MD, to report about John Morgan in the morning. We met Freddie that weekend at the game, who again came up and said to John Morgan in the morning, "Morning, me darling," that he'd be coming in on the Monday to see the MD and give him a piece of his mind because we shouldn't be buying boards there. We were banned from the club. John said, "Listen, don't come to the radio station. I'll get the MD to come to you," which he did. And the last one I've got to share is when we were at Laser House when we were launching Century. There were four of us there kicking a football around. And John told us to behave ourselves, team, and to be prepared because a big celeb was coming in from the BBC who may be on the station. That big celeb, I won't mention. He was very famous for being on Top of the Pops and on Radio 1. As he arrived at the station, John brought him to the sales office and said, "Hey, Mush, you're a lot smaller and uglier than I remember." Which started the negotiations and didn't go in the guy's favour. He didn't make it on air, but it certainly showed that John was born on the carrot tops of life, as he said. And lastly, in Leith, I asked him once, should I go for a vacant sales director's job? And he said, "Mush, Kevman, you're earning more than a bloody MD. You keep doing what you're doing and I'll keep writing the checks."
This is Ed Scott. I got to know the great John Myers when he asked me to be a judge for the Sonys. To be a judge for the Sonys is immense. To be asked by John Myers to be a judge for the Sonys was something special. The normal way of dealing with John was often a text message. You get a random text message from John, and it was always great fun. It was sometimes it was work-related, sometimes it was a catch-up, sometimes it was a joke at the expense of Newcastle United. I met him at a coffee shop near Radio 2, just after he'd had his teeth put in. And it was fantastic. I just kept saying, "John, keep smiling." He couldn't stop smiling, showing his new gnashes. It was fantastic. I remember when I got the email from John, it was about 2 o'clock, 3 in the morning, last January. And he said, "I'm really sorry, mate. I can't meet up with you in a few weeks' time." He said, "I've got cancer. But don't worry, I'll see you in the summer." He was just so upbeat. It wasn't a case of, "Oh my gosh, it's a death sentence." It was seen as an inconvenience. It was something which he had to go through, but I'll see you in the summer. He was so positive, he was so upbeat, he was so John.
Hello, this is Carlos from Smooth Radio in Manchester. I consider myself very lucky, very fortunate to have known John Myers and to have worked for him at GMG. John was the main reason why I wanted to work for GMG and join Smooth Radio. I was working at Wave 105, really happy at Wave 105, but because of personal reasons, I needed to get back to the Midlands, where I'd been based for many years. And there was only one place I wanted to work, and that was what was then the newly launched Smooth Radio in the West Midlands. And the reason I wanted to work there was that I'd heard so many stories about the way that GMG operated, the way that John Myers had built his management team, and the way that he and the team that he had created treated presenters. From, I think, the first day, it became apparent that it was a wonderful experience and would be an amazing ride. And I also remember the first Christmas do. And for anyone who ever had the pleasure of attending a Christmas gathering with GMG Radio, they were unforgettable. They were like mini concerts, big names, superstars appearing. And John, as the MC and the genial host, was just brilliant. So I was queuing up, as we all did, to enter the Palace in Manchester, and the management team would greet you. And I shook John's hand. I said, "John," I said, "this is great. I said, it's lovely to be here." He said, "We are so pleased to have you on the team at GMG." And he started making reference to my past and my success at BRMB and working for Phil Riley at Heart. And he knew so much about me. And that's really rare from my experience with people in such a position of seniority in radio. The other thing I always remember, and I'm sure others will remember this, at a Christmas event when he took on the role of that gorilla from the Cadbury's ad playing in the air tonight, you know, the drum solo. He was just brilliant, a genius, and a giant of radio. He'll be so sadly missed, and my thoughts and prayers are with John's family.
Hello, I'm John Gelson. I'm a freelance producer and newsreader at BBC Tees. I never worked for John Myers, but I met him on train journeys between London and the North East and on his visits to us at BBC Tees. My memories as a listener go back to Red Rose Gold. I heard him on there while on holiday in Blackpool, and on returning home to County Durham, I managed just to pick the station up. The fact that I spent hours trying says it all. Whether on the radio or off, John was a joy to hear, a total advocate of real local radio and a gifted communicator. Rest in peace, John, and thank you.
Hi, this is Paul Sylvester from Absolute Radio. To me, John Myers was a leader, an inspiration, a mentor, and also a friend. There was nothing more comforting than walking into one of those big industry do's and seeing his smiling face and hearing his laugh across the room. You knew then you were just moments away from a big hug and some wise words. Everything John did and said came with honesty and unbounded passion. His opinions weren't always popular, but change only comes when people challenge the norm. And that is one of the reasons why John was so important to our industry. But most importantly, what I loved about John was that he was always listening. And every now and again, he'd text me just out of the blue. Simple, simple stuff like, been listening to your station this week, mate. It sounds classy. Well done. Keep it up. As a new content director, these messages just simply meant the world. I will cherish our catch-ups and the last one just a few weeks ago, chatting as passionately as ever about upcoming projects, putting the world to rights and doing what us radio people do best, having a good old gossip. The world of radio has lost a huge leader this week. And while reminding us how fragile life can be, we should celebrate a great life and a wonderful friend. My love to his beloved Linda and to John's family, of whom he was so immensely proud.
I'm Siobhan Kenny and I'm the Chief Executive of Radio Centre. When I arrived in the radio industry, knowing precisely no one 5 years ago, John was one of the first people to be in touch and very kindly invited me to the what turned out to be the last ever Sony Awards, actually. So I learned a couple of really valuable lessons that night. The first was that John knows absolutely everyone in the radio industry. Second was John was amazingly loud and definitely larger than life. And third was he was the kindest man who always had time for everyone. So that meant you were never in for a short evening with John, but you were never in for a boring one either.
I'm Christian Spooner, better known to most as Spoons. Now, I worked with John Myers during the GMG radio days, joining back in 2002. I can still remember meeting John for the first time. It was in the middle of the dry runs ahead of Real Radio Yorkshire's launch. As well as being the deputy news editor, I was also tasked with reading the news bulletins on breakfast. And I can remember walking from Studio One back over to the newsroom and seeing John walk towards me for the first time. And I think I was nervous. I remember thinking, oh no, it's John. What do I say? But I needn't have worried because already he was opening his mouth to greet me. Here he is, voice of Yorkshire. I can still remember him saying it now. And John was just one of those people that had a great way of putting you at ease. And he really made you feel valued. And that really continued as the group continued to grow over the years. John allowed us to produce some truly outstanding news and current affairs output down those years. He really was supportive of that. Content absolutely was king when it came down to John. And boy, was he funny. He was absolutely hilarious. If I've seen him standing on a stage addressing the audience with the line, "Hello, fellow athletes," if I've seen him do that once, I've seen him do it 1,000 times, but it never, ever failed to crack me up. And of course, no one could do a sound check like John Myers.
Knickers, knackers, knockers. Is that all right? Try that now. Is that sound any better? Is it?
That's the actual audio of him testing the microphones at Real Radio Yorkshire. It's just brilliant, isn't it? John didn't just shape the radio industry. He also shaped careers just like mine, and I've got an awful lot to thank him for. He really will be hugely missed.
It's Chris Moore here. My first contact with John came in early 2000. I'd been made redundant by Capital in late December of the previous year. And John rang me up to talk about being part of this new station that he was setting up in South Wales. In his words, when, and not if, he won the licence. It was his first application as GMG's new radio boss, and I have no idea how he got my number. I knew then of his reputation in the business. What followed that conversation was the best decade of my radio career, being part of the launch team at Real Radio in Wales and the amazing work that we did in the following years. And there are so many stories. On Sunday mornings, my show preceded Fun on the Phones, and we would normally do a preview, a tease with Sarah and the two Johns about 11:45, 10:45. If we could connect to the ISDN at John's house, sometimes we couldn't get them on until during the news at 12 o'clock because somebody else in John's house was on the telephone, so we couldn't hook up to his home ISDN. And I remember getting an email from him on the occasion of my 25th anniversary in radio. It absolutely meant the world to me. I still have it. Many workplaces dread a visit from the big boss. We absolutely loved having him around at Tynan Court, and he loved coming back to Wales. It had a special place in his heart. A positive comment from John about your work made you feel 10 feet tall. He was an inspiration, a force of nature, and the radio business is a lesser place without him in it.
Hello, this is Dirk Anthony. Thank you very much for the opportunity of adding to the no doubt huge list of tributes that John Myers is receiving. I'd like to acknowledge his huge contribution to the UK radio industry and radio around the world, frankly, because a lot of people began to copy what was being done in UK radio. As an on-air talent, as a manager of radio businesses, as a leader of people, John is an absolute giant. His memory will be alive and well for many, many, many years in the industry. I'd like to thank John for the foundations that he's created in this industry. I didn't work for John, but I've met so many people who have, and there's always a consistent message about John. His loyalty to his staff, his enthusiasm, his challenges, but his absolute passion for the industry. I'd like to wish John's memory all the very best for many years to come and offer my very best wishes to his family.
I'm Steve Taylor from Bow Media. I never worked directly with John, but over the years I got to know him quite well through our amazing industry, working on various different initiatives over the years. And over the last few days, I've been looking back at some of the texts and emails that he sent over the years, and it just reminded me what an amazing man he was.
I'm Tom Harrigan, one of the newsreaders at Radio 2. I met John just the once when he was doing his review of BBC Local Radio and he was touring the country. And one stop was BBC Oxford, where I was working at the time. And we'd been tipped off that he wanted to come and sit in on one of the news bulletins. I happened to be reading it. So I had John in the studio with me, literally over my shoulder, my news editor over the other shoulder, as I was reading the news live. I've read thousands of news bulletins. I don't think I've ever been as nervous as I was for that one. But I thought it went okay, actually. I was quite pleased with my performance. John, being John, had some characteristically honest feedback. A day later, though, he got in touch, unprompted, just to check that I'd taken what he said in the right spirit, and to thank me for giving up some of my time to talk to him and said that it was nice to meet me. I still had that message all these years later. It really meant so much to speak to and meet a man who meant so much to the radio industry. There will never be another John Myers. I was so sorry to hear of his passing, and radio is poorer for his absence.
Hello, my name is Andy Durant and I run a company called This Is Distorted. So about 6 years ago, myself and three friends, we all quit our good steady jobs at Capital FM for a harebrained scheme and some half-formed ideas to set up our own company, and Scott Myers was one of those four. And with Scott, we were also lucky enough to get the experience and the advice and the attention of John. In fact, I remember at the start, he made us sit down after hours when Capital had closed up and do like a proper Dragon's Den-style pitch, which was terrifying. He acted as unofficial chairman during our first difficult year of Distorted, at a time when we were kind of selling our cars to make ends meet and living off Aldi baked beans, but gave us stacks of invaluable advice, kept us on our toes. In fact, a few times he'd come into the office in an evening and leave notes on people's desks saying things like, "The chairman was here," just letting us know that he was always kind of watching from a distance and expecting some big things. Nothing like a bit of pressure. Although he did once tell us podcasts were dead, and I think that secretly he was pleased that he was wrong about that one over the last few years. A formidable and successful businessman, sometimes ruthless, always very, very much full of love for radio home for people, for technology, but mainly for his family. And I know he's very, very proud of them all, and I know that they're very, very proud of him.
I'm Willie Morgan, now retired, former programme controller of the Supergold Network for the Chiltern Radio Group, and freelanced on many radio stations thereafter, notably at Radio 2, Virgin Radio, Century Radio 106 for John Myers in Nottingham, as well as Wave 105, Manx Radio, and many, many others. I was shocked and saddened to awaken on Sunday morning to learn this horrible news. 60 is no age at all. I worked for John for a short while whilst at Century 106 in Nottingham, and we discussed the possibility of my becoming his programme controller at Century 101 in Newcastle, though he didn't really believe I'd relocate to the northeast, despite the in-house championing there from Paul Goffey Goff. Nevertheless, team and I remained friendly, and he was very kind to me when I suffered a stroke in 2011, which I repaid when he had a successful treatment for cancer of the tongue and tonsil. When he launched his autobiography, he offered his friends the chance to obtain a signed copy. I jokingly told him that as my stroke had left me visually impaired, I'd have to buy a copy for my Kindle in which I could enlarge the text, so I asked him to autograph a sticky label that I could fix to my device. I think it amused him. I will miss his tweets, his blogs, and his friendship. My condolences to Linda, Scott, Kerry, and the entire Myers family. RIP, team.
Hello, this is John Pye from Smooth Radio Lake District. And my first memory of John Myers was when he speeded past my milk float that I was working on in my teens. He was heading to Preston to do a show on Red Rose Gold. We knew that because he had a branded vehicle and he used to rattle past the milk bottles at 5:45. And later when I worked at Red Rose, I learnt that most of his links, the first links, may have been done from his car phone when he was late for work, which made me chuckle. Elsewhere, he was a presence around the building. When I first started at Red Rose, I was given the job of tech-hopping many shows, not just on the Gold Network, on the Rock Network, but one particular occasion I was doing a show before John Myers on Red Rose Gold, and he noticed a sweep over a song was particularly good, particularly tight, and I was quite proud of that. And you know what it's like in this industry, only a few people recognise when it works, and when it's good, you're kind of proud of yourself. And the first thing team said when he walked in the door, very good that, very slick, well done, you know, and that kind of encouragement goes a long way. He had an ear for radio, passion for people within the industry, and was so keen to help as well. Quite the presence in St. Paul's Square, and you often thought, shall I go and talk to him? You know, once you engage with conversation, he gave you time, and that goes a long way. His legacy will live on for years. Rest in peace, team.
Hello, this is Howard Hughes. I can't believe that I'm going to be talking about John in the past tense. Because as anybody who knew or came into contact with him, he was a beacon, a powerhouse, a dynamo of enthusiasm and ideas. John was one of the most positive people in my life in any field I've ever come across. He would sometimes tell people, that was crap, man. But he wouldn't do it because he wanted to hurt or chide the person. He would do it because he knew they could do better. There's a big difference there. One of those things is punishment, and one of those things is encouragement. And for me, John was the most encouraging person. John was always putting Radio Academy engagements my way. One of the most unusual was he got me to speak to a lot of young people at the Radio 1 Hackney weekend. And I said, John, are you sure about this? He said, no, man, go and do it. And I did, and I loved it. I went with a bunch of notes and threw the notes away in the end. And John emailed me the next day to say, God, I don't know what you did, but I keep getting emails about you at the Radio 1 Hackney weekend. So it was a gig that I didn't think I could do. And there's another crucial thing about the man. He got people to do things that they didn't think they could do. He believed in people sometimes when they didn't believe in themselves. I've got my phone here. On it is an email from John in 2013. And it says, I'm going to be in town next Wednesday, mate. Fancy a cup of coffee and a chat. Right now, saying these words about John Myers. I wish I could do that. I will always regard him as being one of the most special people that I've ever known. Didn't somebody once say, don't be sad because a thing is over or a person has gone, but smile because the thing happened or that person was in your life in the first place. And I guess that's how we've got to think about what's happened. John, rest in peace. Loads of us are going to miss you.
Even going through school, I wasn't interested in radio. I didn't really listen to radio at all. I had no desire to be in the radio business. I hated school, so I got out as soon as I can. I got a job in the council for the Carlisle sewers in the city of Carlisle.
Love, soft as an easy chair.
It's the only time I've actually enjoyed being overweight, because I was too big to go down the manhole, and I used to stay at top and do all the measurements, but it was an awful job.
This is Radio Luxembourg, the world's biggest independent.
I would tune in to Radio Luxembourg, and Bob Stewart did the closing announcement, and I used to sit in my Vauxhall Opel, and I would wait for the closing announcement at 2 o'clock. Getting into Radio Carlisle was a nightmare, really. They came to me and they asked me to do the country show. And I hate country music. I've always disliked it. A year later, to my embarrassment, really, I won the Country Music of the Year award. So,
yes, but you put in tonight, I want to put no hold on you. Go and put the kettle on then. It's now time for the news at 1 o'clock.
Red Rose Radio! Red Rose Radio in the early 80s. Was an absolute joy. It had fantastic presenters on, full of personality. Baz Riley, Dave Lincoln doing mid-morning, the housewife's choice. They used to determine how successful you were as a presenter. He'd count your mail. But I only really wanted to be on the air. I had no intention whatsoever to be in management, because the management I was receiving always used to look quite vicious. Dave Lincoln asked me to manage Red Rose Gold. The jingles they got for Rock FM, I was so jealous.
But now on Border, Friday night viewing continues with comedy in the two...
I remember sitting at home and I was watching the television. They had people coming up in between the programmes. Coming up next, Coronation Street. I watched that and I thought, I can do that. Goodness me. And there was a slot that we used to do every day about 10 minutes to 5, which was called Border Birthdays. And I thought I'd jazz it up a little bit.
So sit back as we go back through the golden years of Border Television.
That's Billy Joel. Tell her about it. Go on, tell her. Tell her straight.
So there I was at Red Rose. I get this call saying, John, we're launching a radio station in Carlisle, your hometown. Would you come and launch it?
Good morning, this is John Byers. Welcome to your new local radio station, playing the best mix of music.
26.4 CFM became this enormous success. Very quickly, it had a 58% reach.
96.4 CFM, we're on.
Border put in for this regional licence in Newcastle. I had a look at the application. It was the biggest pile of dog's dinner you've ever seen. They had this thing called the Tatey Pot. It was just the worst application in the world. Across the whole daytime, we could only play 45% music. And Metro was so frightened of us, I used to deliberately go on the attack.
Good morning, this is John Morgan. On Thursday, the 1st of September, it's 7 a.m. and a star is born.
We were going to put a licence in for the North West, Manchester, the biggest radio licence outside London. And I remember when the applications were published, I went through them all. And I put a paper to my board and I said, in terms of quality, we're probably second bottom.
It's 8 a.m. and a star is born.
How are you, love?
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Good, anything's better than him that's just been on, I'll tell you. Okay. Talks like that. That's making a waking up next to it, right?
We just launched Century 105. And for whatever reason, Radio 106 wasn't going well, which, of course, we changed to Century. Trouble at the Top went to businesses who were in trouble and filmed them sorting that trouble out.
The bottom line is, what you're doing now, at that particular time of day, nobody listens.
When I look back, that just wasn't a great way to manage that situation. I could have been kinder to her.
He's got on the phone.
People say that, you know, you do well in life, but actually... You often do well in life because of the risks you had. So I had 10 years of longevity at Border TV, and here I was going to jump to the Guardian Media Group, and all they would give me was an 18-month contract. I just love Bob Phyllis, and the reason I like Bob Phyllis is because he is a guy that's made his own luck in life. He gave me a bollocking now and again. He gave me one or two bollockings along the way, but often did it with a smile.
Good morning, it's 8 a.m. on Tuesday, October the 3rd. and A Star Is Born.
Real Radio Wales has gone down in history now, was the most successful launch of a regional radio station anywhere in the country.
When did you see me?
I've seen you on that.
And I said, Kelvin, Scott FM, I'd like to buy Scott FM from you. The speakerphone burst into life, and it was Kelvin McKenzie. Are you there, John? I says, I am, Kelvin. Who's there with you? I said, we've got Sir Bob Phyllis. He went, right, well, I've done the deal. 25 and a half million. You can have the station. Thanks very much, but you can all fuck off.
How are you?
How are you, love? Never mind how I am. How are you? That's more important.
Shaking, actually.
Are you shaking? Oh, hey, love. Normally drugs will sort that out, love.
I wanted to get the Century stations back because we could turn them into Century or Real Radio or whatever. Negotiating with Ralph Bernard is like trying to juggle jelly. I'd come to the point where I was 10 years at GMG. I was about to hit my 50th birthday, and I left on exactly my 50th birthday, and I decided to retire. I then, of course, did the Myers reports for the government and the BBC. All the reports I've done, whether it's for the Digital Report in Britain or whether it's for the report on the BBC's and particular BBC local radio, I just tell it as I see it. You know, I'm not after a job. In fact, I'm busy now doing more things than I should be, so I haven't really retired. It's just a word. But I certainly miss the people. I certainly miss the exciting moments. I think radio has changed. It's still very successful, but I'm sure that if I got into radio now again, I'm not so sure it would be as exciting as it was when I was going through the 80s and the 90s and the noughties. But I love management. I love being a presenter. I learnt so much, and I found a way of connecting with an audience. I love management because I found a way of connecting with the staff and making them be as good as they can be. Ageless endeavor. I think at the end, when someone's looking down and someone says, John Myers, what did you think? I think if people said, he made a difference and he was a nice guy, I think that's the best anyone can hope for. I don't know if any of that's any good, mate, but...